Good afternoon, Chair.
My name is Nontran Tangapendaba. I'm the chairperson of the Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing Honorable Fusion, the chairperson for select committee in the NCOP for health and social services. If you look at that laptop, you will see that she's on the visual platform.
Yes.
And another member, Ms. Malika, on the visual platform. You don't have to touch the mouse because both mics are on. You have 45 minutes with us. I'll now hand over to the honorable members to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Tendela, igama lami uyiTumelo kaMaluleke, ngiyimemba yale komiti. Siyakwamukela.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, Mr. Tendela. I'm Teliso Mgwebha, the member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Afternoon, my name is Bongile Khawula, member of the committee. Thank you. Hey, I'm afraid Kora. Kulume English.
Good afternoon, and welcome, Ms. Tendela. Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Elegant Chavele. I'm a member of the subcommittee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Chairperson, you'll be the one who will be sharing this session. Over to you, Mr. Baka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Bulelo Baka, and I'm also a member of this committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Leo Lompiti, and I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The gentleman sitting next to Honorable Lompiti is Dr. Tembe, our legal president of parliament. And three ladies who are us, the ladies in the back, is Ms. Nomvula Tiba, the manager for committees in parliament. Ms. Zuki, the one who's dealing with theology, is Ms. Zuki France. She's the coordinator of the select committee in the NCOP. And the other lady who's sitting there is Ms. Nobatana. That is Nobatana, our committee secretary. I now hand over.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Tendela, welcome to this interview. My first question to you will be, before that, I will ask you to relax, take a deep breath. You do have water. Can you introduce yourself to the panel and also tell the panel why you think you will be a suitable candidate to serve on the NYDA board in this country?
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Thulisa Ndlela. I am a young entrepreneur from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm born in KwaZulu-Natal. I run a primary cooperative with an interest in a number of industries. We deal with... Oh, okay. Okay. Bring curry pants. Okay. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Thuli Sandlela. I am a young entrepreneur from KwaZulu-Natal. I run a primary cooperative, an industrial cooperative based in Durban. We have an interest in a number of areas. Prime off is the marine economy, to which I act as a managing director of that company known as iGobi Diving Services. I hold a bachelor's degree in arts, majors in legal studies and political science. I also have a honors degree in international relations, both obtained with the University of KwaZulu-Natal. I am at the moment in pursuit of a postgraduate in finance, investment banking and management with the University of KwaZulu-Natal. But it's on a part-time basis and I'm doing my final year now. In KwaZulu-Natal, the KZN Ezemvelo Wildlife Board, at which I am the chairperson of the Finance and Governance Committee there and a member of the Audit Committee of the institution. I also am a member of the board of Prince Umshiyeni Hospital, which is less an accounting authority and more of an advocacy role, a community service role that I do with the institution, Prince Umshiyeni Memorial Hospital. As to the last part of the question, Chair, why I think I would be a best fit if I may to be elected or selected to be part of the NYDA board, I think, Chair, more than anything, as a young entrepreneur, the NYDA as at its core business is about young entrepreneurs and the development of young people broadly within the youth development space, but in particular, those that will assist deal with the number one challenge that our country faces, which is youth unemployment. So I think I could make a contribution. Also, because I am in the space already as a member of an accounting authority in KwaZulu-Natal, I do believe that the experience I've gained since 2017 up until now will put me in good stead. Lastly, Chair, I am a certified director. I have a designation as a certified director from the Institute of Directors of South Africa. I obtained it last year, which then indicates my understanding of corporate governance to the level at which the Institute then reached a level to say this one can be given the designation. I am in pursuit of a designation, the second level of a designation, which would be Chartered Director. But I've not completed it at the moment. So that is, in a nutshell, who Mr. Thuli Sandlela is.
Okay, I have a follow-up question on Mr. Ndlela's introduction.
Okay, Chairperson, you can continue.
Can I come in?
Yes, Chair, continue.
Mr. Ndlela.
Yes, Chair.
There is an introduction here. Izinto ibalile ziningi kakhulu. Or involve us. Uma ke asithi ke wena sesiya recommend ukuthi ube yiphathi yebhodi. Ucabanga ukuthi izandla zakho azigcwelanga. And abantu abasha ukwenza ukusebenza leboard uzoyenza yini ijustice uma sofakiwe uyilunga leboard.
Thank you, Chair. At this stage, Chair, when I was nominated, this is indeed a question that I considered, because more than anything, primary to what I do, I'm an entrepreneur. I run my business, and more than anything, I spend most of my time working with iGOV. So I did consider the question as to what is it that one can offer. Am I not too busy? You know, but because I'm towards the end of my studies, this is my final year of my studies, at least that takes away that level of commitment. But in terms of the work that gets done at SMVelo, because I'm a member of a board, I'm a non-executive director, we are not full-time in any way. We come and do oversight. So from a basis, I only have iGOV to look after. And of course, if I may be given an opportunity to serve the young people of this country as one of the members of the board, whether I'm a non-exec or I'm a first amongst equals, then at that point, it will be at that point where I'll have to make a decision. And I am prepared for the service of the young people of this country to take a leave of absence for the right reasons from iGOV. And this is a discussion we've had already with the board of directors, and they are happy to let me go if I'm going to be chosen and selected as the first amongst equals, which will require my full-time engagement. But if I'm a non-exec, I will still continue to work with iGOV, and then because the demands of a non-exec are not as much as the ones of a first amongst equals.
Okay, Chair, Honorable Chabeleng wants to make another follow-up question.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. In your introduction, you said you're serving on the board of Prince Mshiyeni.
Yes.
Hospital. I want to check from, amongst other things, the board becomes the face in a way, and or the mirror of the well-being of the organization you represent. It's seen in the board members, their capacity, and of course their credibility generally, and that the board deals with many issues, including policy, and policies address realities, including perceptions, if you agree on that one. Then I'm going to ask you a question related to that. The perception in some sectors, I'll say in the township, in KZN, from people that I talk to, I don't know whether they are minority or a majority, but most of them believe that. That the perception is that if you go to Prince Mshiyeni Hospital, you're not going to come out alive. And they refer to it as Mshiyeni Azase. Now, that perception, what is this that you are doing? Because my neck tells me that it may not be correct, that perception. But then what is this that you are doing to change that perception as the board? Because there's a perception now with the NYDA that is saving one section of the youth and not another. So, what will be your input into this process of changing that perception? Or do you believe that, yes, indeed, it doesn't save everybody? Or do you also believe that, yeah, well, Moye Prince Mshiyeni, Bazukshiozo, my Zulu is not very good. The perception, the board addresses tigers and flies. I think that is what the board is supposed to do. Perceptions and realities. So how will you change this perception? And your experience in trying to save to I'm not sure if you are aware of that perception, Prince Mshiyeni Hospital, if you are aware of that perception.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think your question, Honourable Member, is in two parts. Maybe let me first address the first part about my existing assignment to Prince Mshiyeni. The structure of the board in Prince Mshiyeni is such that the board is not an accounting authority. it's more of a community, it's a link between the hospital, the community. So we are positioned ideally to deal with such perceptions, and it has been a work that we've been seized with from the day we got appointed to deal with making sure that these perceptions get entrenched by people's experiences. You know, if you go to Prince Mshiyeni and then you spend 3 hours on the queue, obviously you develop a perception that this institution is not responsive. Now, part of dealing with that, we instituted a program that, whose intention was to make sure that those that are on chronic medication, that collect medication every month, they must be, we must make awareness to the community of Umlazi to say, don't go to the hospital to collect this. Go to your local GP and write your details that I'm collecting this kind of equipment, this kind of tablet per month, and then the institution will deliver them to your local GP or to your local clinic. You don't have to wait and crowd the hospital. That way you are able to let the food on the passenger numbers of people that come in there, the numbers of people that come in there every day, so that you can have the hospital dealing with the numbers of people that it's supposed to, who have referral letters from their primary healthcare situations. Now, this is an example, Honorable Member, of putting systems in place in order to address the issue. But you first need to know what the issue is. And I think coming to the second part of your question, the NYDA throughout the years has suffered from this perception, given how it has related to those that have approached it. Because it's not everyone who's approached the NYDA, but those that have approached the NYDA have not found the help that they were looking for, either in the manner substantively or even in a way that procedurally it wasn't done correctly. So what you then need to do as a member of the board is working with the executive, you put in systems in place and structures that would allow for those that need help in the NYDA to get it and get it within reasonable time, because that will change the way people believe the NYDA is responsive to them. So it's true, this is something that must be addressed, and this is something that members of the board, if I'm chosen to be one of them, will have to deal with, and will deal with it with exact programs that will make sure that if you put in a request, they say we commit to dealing with it in 20 and in 21 working days, we make sure that there is a response, either yes or no, but there is a response. Because young people, especially if you are in an entrepreneur and you're trying to start a business, more than the amount of money you're looking for, but you also have time against you. You need to make sure that you get an answer. The answer must be within the reasonable time, so that if it's a no, you can go to your other options, so that you don't wait for 3 months waiting for an answer from the NYDA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Bamundlela, I hear you. But this perception that we are talking about and the systems that you are saying should be put in place to address this negative narrative about the NYDA. But then you are talking about the turnaround time for responses for those people who are applying for some benefits from the NYDA. But what about the people who are in deep rural areas who thinks that NYDA is not for them because it's not visible? If you are appointed as a board member, what are you going to do to ensure that even people who are in Mhlabuyalingana can see that NYDA is a living thing, is a living organization that will benefit them?
Thank you. I think the question asked by the first honorable member is slightly different from this one. But this one then deals with those need to find the NYDA accessible to them. Because the problem is the perception is not necessarily from people who have not interacted with the NYDA. The majority of the people that found a perception around the NYPA, whether the NYPA is good or not, are people who would have had some interaction with the NYPA, and hence what they say is credible because this is someone who's going to say, trust, take it from me. I know what I'm talking about. I went to the NYPA and I spent so much time and they never helped. See, that review carries more weight than someone who says, the NYPA does not help. And you say how, and they don't tell you. Now, coming to your question, how we need to address the reach of the NYPA is through partnerships. Partnerships with state organs already that are existing, such as municipalities. And the municipalities, good thing about municipalities is that does not fall under municipalities, even those that who believe they are in the country of their own, they are still under a municipality. So you need to make sure that you partner with municipalities to be able to reach the NYPA. But the other thing that has happened through this COVID-19, what has happened is we have been forced to move with speed towards a technology. We've been forced to be able to embrace technology in a way that we were taking it slowly over the years. Now we're forced to deal with it quicker, and that means the NYPA now will be able to utilize things like your virtual platforms in the cities. And I say this well aware of the challenges around data, challenges around the availability of data, particularly not even in rural areas alone, even in townships. Data is very expensive for us, you know, and whether you are, there are people who live in townships, very urban areas, that can't afford data. They know about it, but they can't afford it. They use on Facebook something called a free mode. You know, free mode Facebook is a recognition that you are aware that Facebook, but you don't have the data to be able to buy and use the normal. So these kind of things need the NYPA as an institution to engage with the relevant parties, such as ICASA and the network providers, to reach an agreement. And I think this is contained in the draft youth policy as right now, 2020, which speaks about the need for the NYPA to deal about with data costs and be able to propose to the networks to say there are certain websites that must be zero rated, and these websites must be educational so that young people, even if you don't have data, you can be able to access them. Now, that is a different conversation from someone in Mhlabuyane, Ghana, has not seen a cell phone. And that conversation then forces the NYPA to utilize community radio stations as platforms, because even in areas where a big radio station might not be reachable, but the community radio stations, in the case of KwaZulu-Natal and many other small, your True FM, in the case of the Western Cape, you need to be able to utilize those kinds of platforms in order for you to be able to access young in their different spheres.
No, it's not a follow-up, sir. It's not a follow-up.
You should have agreed to our because I must also make you a little check.
No, thank you, Chair. And thank you, Mr. Ndlela. Mr. Ndlela, what will be the sort analysis of the NYPA in your honest view? Your SWOT analysis, the strengths, the weaknesses, the threats and the opportunities of the NYPA in your honest view. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think for me, the strength in of the NYDA is its legislative framework, the amount of leeway that the Act allows the NYDA in its current shape or form. I know there's a debate around the amendment of the NYDA Act, and I've also tried to follow it, and I've got rather different views from it. But for me, at the moment, the NYDA Act is solid enough and substantive enough if the right kind of people with the right kind of vision serve on the board for it to deliver on its mandate. And then I also have some of its weaknesses, Chair, is that our ambitions are low. The ambitions of the NYDA, and if you interact with the 2018-2019 annual report, our ambitions are very low. We seem to confine ourselves as within the available budget. You know, 2018 was about 514 million rands, around that ball figure. And it seems as if the projects that were planned and that were undertaken had were confined there. So the thinking of both management and the authority confined themselves with available ports. So the thinking was not outside the box. It was because I also believe that to think outside the box is to think in relation to the box. For me, we would need to think even in complete ignorance of the box. Now, that does not mean we need to be irresponsible, but our paradigm shift when we think, we must think in a way that allows us to say, okay, right now, here is available pot of money, but where do we go for further? And then the opportunities, there lies the number of opportunities and partnerships, Chair. The partnerships that the NYDA is allowed by law to strike with organized labor, with the civil society organizations, with organized business, with government departments, are an opportunity that the NYDA can be able to deal with. And then the threat, and finally for me, the threat of the NYDA to its mandate will be its inability to communicate its message to the youth. Because more than anything, the NYDA must inspire young people to be able to champion their own development, because the available resources and the available time will not allow the NYDA to spoon feed anyone, and it can't and it shouldn't. The NYDA must be able to inspire young people to be able to get up and do it with the guidance, of course, and the framework that the NYDA has laid, but it shouldn't be about a handout. It must be about a hand up for young people to rise. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Kotide, I'm sure that having applied for an opportunity to serve on the board, you have been following with keen interest the shortlisting process, and you have realized that we have received over about 600 applications of young people who have had an interest of serving on the NYDA board. So you've made the cut of 30, and we've brought you to the interview. Can you just tell us, as this committee, what would you, as an individual coming from KZN, what innovation would you bring to the board of the NYDA? You've made mention of actually thinking in complete ignorance of the board, which means that there is a lot of innovation that you probably plan to bring in the board, some things that are new that have never really been explored within the National Youth Development Agency. So what are they? We'd like to hear them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I wish to respond to this, and thank you very much for the question. I wish to respond in twofold, Chair. Number one, when one is given an opportunity to serve on such a board, the strategy must be two-pronged. Number one, it must be about short-term, immediate goals that we can score today in order to address the young people today. young people being anyone between the ages of 14 and 35, and these are the youth of today. And then also, we also need to have, and this is a much longer term view, we need to have a foundation, we need to lay a foundation as the board of the NYDA in order for the youth that follows after us to benefit. Now, the youth that follows after us are young children at the moment. They are outside the NYDA ambit, but in our planning, we have to plan for them, because if you are visionary as a leader, you need to be able to see the sun at midnight, in the sense that you need to be able to say, it's 12 p.m. now, it's at midnight, but I am certain that there will come an hour when we will rise. And when this hour arrives, we need to be prepared either with sunscreen, if it's sunscreen, umbrellas, if it's umbrellas, or the shade, if we need the shade. So the kind of leadership that we need to be in the NYDA is the one that not only plans for today, but also plans for the future, in the sense that we have to accept, honorable members, that Matric 2020 is a product of Grade 1 2008. And in our planning, if we accept that this is the case, then we must accept that the Matric of 2032, 2033 is Grade 1 2021. And in our planning, we have got to be futuristic. You must ask ourselves, and the NYDA must engage with this, obviously with government departments such as the basic education, to say, what kind of South Africa will we live in 2033? And what kind of skill will be required in 2033? And project that far. Then we need to start now and teach that skill today. And that is the kind of visionary leadership we have got to do. We've also got to accept that we are not, as this board, going to be able, or maybe let me say this, we have two choices, honorable members. We either build a three-story house with the amount of money we have and resources and the time we have, the three-year term we have, we build a three-story house, or we take all that resource, all the time, the money, we build a very firm foundation, only a foundation for 3 years. We build a foundation in order for those that come after us to build a 30-story building, a 180-story building, such as the Burj Khalifa. We have that option. And as a member of the NYDA board, this is what I will come and advocate and say to my fellow colleagues, whether I'm the first amongst equals or I'm a non-executive member, to say, we have a choice to make. What do we want to do? Do we want to plan for 3 years and do small programs that give small successes with the small money we have? Or we want to go to Treasury and say, Treasury, we are not asking for more money from you. We are asking for a government guarantee against the maybe of 100 billion within the MTF. I'm just making up a number at this stage. To say within the MTF, we're looking for 100 billion, where young people will come with bankable proposals to start a factory in Emandeni in order to rehabilitate the dying factory town of Emandeni, to start a factory in Dimba in the Eastern Cape, in order for you to say, those young people will then have their business plan to this funding that will be available on the capital market. But this funding will be a loan, honorable members. Because if we are serious about business, there shall be no business that is not able to repay its loan. If you do a business, the business must be able to repay the loan. Now, I'm not doing away with the grants. The grants at the level of 100,000, the small things there, here and there, the tuck shop and all these other things, it's okay, they can continue. And that's fine. That's for the youth who need to be helped to get to a particular level. But for the youth who are interested and who've got the ideas that change the fundamental structure of the economy, those young people must get a hand up from the NYDA in order for them, you know, to know that we are having a business, we've borrowed maybe 60 million in order for us to do working together with the Department of Trade and Industry, we are able to say, okay, these kind of commodities are imported. Now, we're doing what we call an import substitution, because post-COVID, we have got to find new ways of creating jobs. Must be about us, South Africans, doing things within our available resources and building jobs. We cannot continue to import our toothpicks. Honorable members, such a situation is unacceptable.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ngibonge uhlonishwa uNdlela, presentation yakho. Lana Ndlela, noma se-honorable esengijimele phambili ngomshiyeni. Hayi, ungasaba, ngizokusho lutho.
Hayi, kuleka Joba.
Ngiyajabula ukuthola ukuthi lapha buka ibhodi yakhona. Na kule kwezemvelo. Lana sinenkinga, sinenqwaba yamanesi youth. Ephume ey'koleni ahambe ufundele inesingi. Kanjalo njalo. Le ekugcineni uthola ukuthi labantu fana ngabe bayasebenza, imisebenzi abayitholi. Phinde singene nakulezi zemvelo obukuyona ibhodi. Nakhona, KZN kakhulukazi, sengibone iy'xuku zakhona ey'ningi ngihambela ngama-complain akhona. Ngingamayemazi ngiyabonga futhi ukuthi kanawo khona kwibhodi kule. Hey, bakithi, kuyashaya noma kufikena kule bhodi yezemvelo, umuntu omnyama wakithi. Ngifuna ukwazi lana Ndlela ukuthi ekunoma abantu bakithi abamnyama, especially youth, legcina ithi ifundile igcina isingena sibe ama-security, iyuthothi lapha iqiwini. Kulezi ayiqiwi, ayigadekile, yama-security, abanazo ngisho indawo ey-safety zokuhlala, kuneyilwane eziyingozi, abanazo ngisho iy'moto zokuthi babe patrola if besolwa khona umuntu ongaphakathi. Nemali abayihola abayiholi. Badlala abelungu. Kuhle lokhu ngibeke kahle nje sithando sami, ungadini. Nasemshiyeni kuney'nkinga nje obeseke washo umhlonishwa engeke ngisayibala ngoba vele asizile ngazo. Wena usithembisa ukuthi uma ngabe sekwenzeka, okay, uyabona manje kunalesikhathi esimbi se-COVID-19. Le COVID-19 ngamanye amazwi izovula umqondo. Especially thina njengabantu abamnyama, ikakhulukazi i-youth nabantu besifazane nabakhubazekile. Valiwe amahotela, uProtea bavaliwe, o-SA bavaliwe, o-SAA bavaliwe. Umbuzo wami uthi ukuze lenta yonke la e-South Africa, ngoba naye i-COVID-19 ifikile abazovavula umqondo manje ukuthi la e-South Africa, i-youth yakhona nayo ayifundi ukuzimela, nayo ibe ama-owner ey'qiwi, ibe ama-owner nawo ama-hotel. Yini wena uma ngabe ungena kule bhodi, yini ongayenza ukuthi nathi sigcine esiqhenya ngawe, sibone ukuthi ayi uselenzile ushintsho, ikakhulukazi nakhona emadolobheni bayinkinga. Angiphathi-ke emakhaya. Le nto yobuchwepheshe, iy'ngane kuyimanje khona ey'kwazi ukufunda ey'namadata, khona ey'nganawo amadata emakhaya ifunda. Kanjalo nalezi zinto ey'njengama-phones abanawo. Ngoba kusasa le nto sifuna ikwazi ukuyimela. Yini wena uma ungena kuleya ozoyenza ukuthi wenze shoti imali ekhona, nemali mhlawumbe uzobe zitoditi uyeqhabuka ngaphandle, uyabuya uzobheka le ntsha, uyayithuthukisa, not ngendlela ukuthi ithole amathuba okuqashwa. It's not a time manje ukuthi sikhulume indaba yokuqashwa kwakwentsha. akebe womabhosi ngithini okagcina ngathi uqasho ake khombise manje ukuthi sesikuphi manje sikhuluma ngani iCOVID-19 izozivula umqondo ukuthi kufanele intsha yala ibuye ithathe izitifiketi yazihambe yosebenza yini ozoyenza uma ngabe kwenzeke kuthole lethu emakhaya usabarana not ukube khona ama-province ongazi kuwahamba omdansana kuphi kuphi Eastern Cape. Ngiyabonga.
Ngiyabonga kakhulu mamkhawula umbuzo wakho nokho noma-ke uthi ngeke usalithinta udaba lasemshiyeni sho mhlawumbe othi mase siphumelela sisalo with your permission sesingaliqhubeka nje udaba
lasemshiyeni sendivume yakho ngizocela unginikeza ifoni number bakukhona engingafuni ukukhuluma
ngiyabonga ngiyabonga mkhulu sikhonela lokho vele ngoba ibhodi lasemshiyeni likhonela lokho ukuthi uma kuney'nkinga sikwazi ukuthi sisondelele eduze and asiphike ukuthi ziba khona iy'nkinga kodwa ingakho saqokwa ukuthi sizame ukuthi inkinga sizilungise futhi esesibasizile bayasho ukuthi cha hayi mase sifike lezi insizwa eyisencane ngoba ibhodi lethu liholo sihlalo semncane impela intokazi nje semncane nayo iyasho ukuthi mase kufikile lezi nsizwa nalezi ntombi kusheshe kulunge but coming to
uyiyeke leyo okay. Uphendule nje la ngalokho okunye akuhlangene nalokho
coming to your question Mam Khawula specifically about the youth and what is it that the NYDA will do and will achieve insofar as its ability to get people in rural areas more than anything we agree and accept that the current economy has very limited spaces for entrance of new players in the economy. You could say the economy is saturated in a number of areas. There are certain areas that were identified by the President, His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa, which I actually agree with as areas of the new economy that may be fit for new entrants in the market. These areas include the agricultural sector, particularly for the youth in the rural areas because there's access to land more so than in the urban areas. But not just agriculture as planting only, but also as agro-processing. And that allows for young people to be able not just to be the primary producers, but also to be the ones that do value addition into the goods and produce the goods as a final product. And I think it would be important with the youth that the NYDA board consults, engages with young people, and engages with young people in the rural areas to say, here are our available partners. We've got this particular fund. We've got this Department of Rural Development. We've got the Department of Agriculture. This is what they have as available information. And those young people who will be able to have the courage to start a business. Because the other thing, honorable members, we must not make it as if starting a business is automatic. It requires courage. It's not for everyone. Some must be employed. Some must be employers. But we as the NYDA must always inculcate the idea of being encouraging young people to be employers.
The next member. Who's next? Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity and thank you, Mr. Ndlela, for your answers. I think in South Africa there have been a number of measures that have been put in place to address the lack of skills amongst young people. Particularly, we've seen a growing group of young people who have graduated from universities but are now sitting at home with qualifications and no opportunity or hope to find a job. Government has looked at implementing the employment tax incentive, which has not been as successful as one would have thought. Government has looked at the YES program, which they've implemented, and in my view, has seen limited success thus far. So my question to you is, as someone who wants to be appointed in the board, what will you do to address the lack of skills development and successful, or the lack of successful policy implementation that we've seen in addressing skills among young people? What will you do to support, speak to these young people who are sitting at home with graduate degrees and no job opportunities? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The question is a rather important one for a lot of young people who grew up and were told that if you study and you go to school, you go to university, you will get a job and your life, when that doesn't happen, calls into question everything that is the base with which you were taught. The other reality, Honourable Member, is that it's not going to get any better. Because whilst government in the employment accord had committed into increasing the number of jobs, but honourable members are well aware that government, given what we are facing, has to reduce its wage bill, its public sector wage bill. Now, that says to a young person sitting at home today in Polokwane who has a degree that the future is not employment. The future is in the ability to create employment. And this is how you create employment. You look around your surrounding. You look at society's problems and you ask yourself, what is it that I can do to provide a solution to the problems of society and make money with it? I just want to make an example, an anecdote of a young man in Umlazi who created an area. He went to the city and he asked for the city to allow him to use a piece of land, followed the process and went to the taxi owners who parked their cars in the garage and said to them, if you park your car at my spot, because it's now fenced, you will pay with the day, you will pay less than what you are paying at the garage, at the filling. The taxi owner came, and then out of that opportunity, you now had a group of taxi drivers in the morning who needed food. So when they engaged Abo Mama Bataisa Makuinya to say, please come and sell Amakuinya la in the morning for the taxi drivers to take, to have Amakuinya before they go. During the day, the cars are washed in this area, or at night, the cars are washed in this area. At the moment, he's on his way to putting and getting a license to make it. Now has taxis that are here every day, they can put their diesel or petrol here. Now, here is an example of a young man who looked at society's problems and created an opportunity. And out of this opportunity, he's been able to employ other young people who wash these cars together with him today. Now, here is an example of how innovatively we need to encourage our young people. And the NYTA plays a central role there in saying to young people, the time has come for you to, as the youth of today, to give us the kind of visionary that we see and read about from the youth that came before us. And I just want to make one example of a young man in 1979, who at facing death said the following, my blood will nourish the tree that will bear the fruits of. When a lot of people think that is bravery, I don't see it as bravery. I see it as visionary leadership. This is a young man, 26, who knew that 26 years later, in 1994, they will be.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Next honorable member. Hello, Eleni.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Ndlela. Is there anything that you want to ask the panel or question or a comment?
Yeah, I don't have a question. I just have a general comment. Thank you very much to the committee for giving me the opportunity, and I hope we will be able to address the matter among Kaula, but in Kaula with your permission, Chair, with number.
Okay, we've come to an end of your interview, but we're finalizing our interviews tomorrow. So by next week, we'll be deliberating and on the outcomes of the interviews, and then we'll then present the report to Parliament. And after that, after the report has been adopted by Parliament, then the Speaker will take it to the President, because the President is the one who does the final appointments of board members for NYTA. We wish you good luck. Yeah. Very safe.
Hey, I hope they told the flight.
Let's prepare for the next candidate, which is our last candidate. Is it a clinic or a hospital?